Thank you for joining us for Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something. We cover your pop culture through our geekly lens each and every episode. As always, I am Mishanna. We're broadcasting from the Twin Cities Film Fest studio. And speaking of the Twin Cities Film Fest, my good friend Jayton Satia, who is normally my partner in crime, he is off executive directoring someplace. So he was unable to make it today. So stepping in, our good friend, friend of the show, Chief Poobah of the 4D Podcast Network. How long have we known each other now? This is my friend Jake Stubby J. Beaver. Hey, Jake.
I think we were talking about 6 years, yeah, 6, 7 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, we weren't even supposed to be friends.
No, we weren't. Just to remind everybody who's listening to Be Our Geek, you have been on our show a number of times. You've also been on the previous iteration of our podcast, your geek show. I've been on your shows. You have a number of lovely podcasts that are over there.
We do. We've got, I think we got 10 shows that are running over there right now. Everything from craft beer to music to pop culture to pro wrestling, anything that you can think of.
Well, you creepily commented on something on one of my social media feeds, and we still ended up friends. That's amazing. That's a testament to how nice I am.
I'm going
to
still blame one of our cohort shoes. I'm going to say he was in control of the Twitter account that day. So,
are you sure?
Nope.
Just to remind everybody what happened is that, so this was a million years ago. I'm running randomly through my Twitter feed and I see something from this group and they go, hey, our goals for 20, whatever it is, get Miss Shannon on the show. And I'm like, what show? There's a show. I do a Google search. The show doesn't come up. I have no idea what this is. There's no link on their Twitter page. Yeah, you guys didn't say, like, here's a link to even, like, our Facebook page for that particular podcast you were doing at the time.
I think we were in year one during that time. We didn't know what we were doing. Let's be honest. You hear somebody says, hey, do you want to do a podcast? The first thing, I mean, you're like JoJo the Happy Clown. Like,
yes, I know.
That was our first year.
But I do appreciate the fact that you have grown so much, and now you have your entire network. You are out there wrangling a lot of different shows. How many shows do you have over on the 4D podcast?
We've had a total of 14 total, with I believe we've got 3 or 4 more starting this year.
Right.
We've got, like I said before, everything from pop culture. We've got a brand new pop culture show over there called Culture Cast Radio.
Very cool.
We have our music show with the wonderful Ben Quam.
Yes.
Called Sounds Good. Mm-hmm. We have got a beer show called A One Pint Stand.
Do you partake of the beer during the show?
I particularly do not.
Okay.
Cohorts do.
Okay, fair enough. Someone has to taste it.
Dan Bobian from, am I saying his name?
I think it's Bobian.
Bobian. Mm-hmm. Dan Bobian from Growler.
Yes. Gotcha.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He is does a one pint stand for us.
Fantastic.
And so him and I believe it's Eric Wettering are on there, and they do such a great job. They travel from brewery to brewery talking to different brewers and throwing stuff together, and they go to all these different brew festivals and record, and they do such a great job putting their shows together. The 4D Podcast Network for us was definitely a place that I learned from Polly Spitt over at Sizzlin 99.9. Mm-hmm. And we just wanted to have a place where we could just do podcasts for people who honestly didn't have the means or didn't know what to do, how to, you know, distribute it, anything like that. So we help build podcasts over there as well.
Right. Well, I think it's super awesome that you're doing over there. I'm very proud of you as your friend. I like that you do all of the things and keep people involved. And today, we are going to have our guest geek. You brought a friend along. And so we're going to start with our normal Be Our Geek geek roundup, because we have some things we want to talk about going on in the DC Cinematic Universe. So you are a great full spectrum geek as well, Jake.
I'm on board.
Yes. But we are going to move into, during the second part of the show, we hadn't done a wrestling episode. And I was hanging out with a friend of mine who works at a bar in town that is a wrestling themed bar, and I was like, hey, I would like to talk about wrestling. I have like dabbled into trying to get into that particular geekdom, and it has not gone well. So I was like, you know what, let me hit up Jake. I know that he and his buddies got a podcast about it. Why not bring him in as our guest geek? So you brought your buddy along with us, right?
I did. Joining me today is my tag team partner. We have two championship reigns, one in 1984, another one in 1996. We don't talk about those 12 years in between.
Don't you dare.
We absolutely do not. He is the Rick Rude to my Bobby Heenan. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Matty Atlantic.
Nice. Thank you for joining
us. You can't see me, but I'm doing the hip swivel.
Nice. Here, I thought I would bring in some theme music. I felt like this was very appropriate walk up to the ring music. Is it too much?
I like it.
This is good, actually. Yeah, this would work out really well.
Making their way to this is a kind of lights low. Okay. Spotlight on the guy walking up to the ring. Absolutely.
He seems like the type of dude who wears his underwear outside of his pants.
So you will keep that in mind. Maybe I'll send that over your way. You guys can use that on your show, Ring General Radio. So I have so many questions about trying to get into the geekdom of wrestling.
Okay.
So I'm sure that we will dabble into that. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk about a couple of geek shows. So, Maddie, are you into the general geekdom things? Like, do
Absolutely.
You watch any of the DC movies?
I have a Wonder Woman. I have not made it out to Aquaman yet, but
Jake, have you seen Aquaman?
I've seen bits and pieces.
Yeah, you're not missing anything. And
I
listened to your show, kind of documenting Aquaman, and from what it sounds like, there was a need for more shirtless Jason Momoa.
And how do you manage to make Jason Momoa shirtless still dull? Like, this film is incredibly boring. I was not happy with it at all.
There's reasons they didn't give him many lines in Game of Thrones. I mean, there's reasons for it.
But he can do better. Like, I enjoy watching the stories of him and his wife, Lisa Bonet, as they are out in the wild. You hear interesting stories about them being all bohemian and popping into, like, swap meets. And I was like, I would watch that. I would love to go to a swap meet and see. He and Lisa Bonet pop up and then buy some things with their kid. That sounds very entertaining to me. Much more entertaining than Aquaman.
And those two have been together for a long time.
Oh, gosh, yes. Just being beautiful.
Hell yeah.
Probably smell like patchouli. I feel like they are making a very excellent couple.
I can only imagine that their child is exquisitely gorgeous.
Oh, he's gorgeous. Yeah, he's so cute. You know, it's hard to wreck children. You know, the two of them made a cute kid, but he probably would have been cute anyway.
Do you ever see Eddie Murphy and Mel B's kid?
No, I mean, I think I have because Eddie Murphy just recently had his 10th child. So there was a whole family. So he just had his 10th child just before the holidays.
He's exactly. Milking that Nutty Professor money.
Yes. And so they did one of those, let's all stand on the stairs and be family-ish together. So I'm sure the child was in that one.
Oh, my God.
But I don't remember which child.
I think that was the first time they were doing celebrity children, like they put out a People magazine with celebrity children.
They
put that one in, and I think a coworker, when she was flipping through the pages, she just went, whoa, no.
Not a cute, not no, a cute baby?
Apparently not.
Aw, that's unfortunate for that
scary
baby.
Scary Spice.
Well, I hope they blossom. I hope they come into their own as they blossom
so
later. So the news that was coming out recently, Jake and Maddie, is that so we have some news that's going on over in the DC Cinematic Universe. And so they did release their schedule of some films that are going to come out, and they set it into 2021. So it does, I think, give some of my DC friends hope for the future, because there was a couple of things. Like, they talked about The Batman, the new movie they're going to come out, The Batman that's come out, which we know will not have Ben Affleck in it.
I have been.
And when I text you about that, Jake, you seemed slightly... I couldn't tell if you were disappointed or on board with no Batfleck.
I have been so entranced in this whole story with it ever since it wasn't Justice League. I think it was when Batman versus Superman came out.
Mm-hmm.
Was when they announced that they were going to do a standalone Batman film with Affleck not only starring in it, but writing and directing it as well.
Which I was okay with, because I do not think that Ben Affleck is always in great movies, but I do think that he creates good movies normally.
Gone Baby Gone.
Yeah, he's got a very good eye.
Yes. And I don't think any of the problems that I had with that whole franchise does not have anything to do with the actors.
I don't think so,
I don't like these stories and what they give them to do, and for some reason, DC's color palette is just washed out and gross and weird. I don't get it.
Well, you know why. It's Zack Snyder. told you this every time.
Right.
I think I've mentioned this idiot's name every time I've been on your show.
And so many people just bow down to the Snyder.
And I don't understand why, but he does nothing but ruin things. Yeah. He had one good hit with 300. 300 was fantastic.
And 300 isn't, I mean, we got to admit, 300, fun movie. Not good movie.
Yeah, more shirtless Jason Momoa.
Running around stylized.
But it also
looking.
Plays into that color palette.
Right, and it just looked like, as a comic book fan,
either
go all in on comic book or make it look like a good movie. You know, like if you watch Into the Spider-Verse, fantastic comic book looking movie. That's fine.
Oh,
this in-between thing that DC's tried to do, it just takes you out of the movie. Their jokes are all stale. I'm just disappointed in everything about
those. A good portion of that, too, is that they get so drab. They try to follow... what Nolan did with his Batman series. And when they try to do that, they just, you can't match up to that. And especially when you get some numbskull like Zack Snyder at the helm of things. Does Zack Snyder listen to your guys' show?
I hope so. Then maybe he could take some advice. Find
me at Miss Shannon Paul.
Shannon with a name.
Yeah, Shannon with a name. Yeah, find me, Zack Snyder. Tweet me out. Ask to be on Be the Geek. But anyway, Zack Snyder, Watchmen, he ruined the end of Watchmen.
Correct.
But what was interesting is that he made the epic, like, long Watchmen with the Black Freighter intertwined in it in, like, a special edition. But still, even watching 3 hours of that was just too much.
And I don't understand. Like, I genuinely disliked Man of Steel. I found that highly problematic. I hated that movie. And then I tried to, like, give Batman versus Superman a little bit of time because at least they shot for the stars. Like, they had, tried to do interesting stuff in that movie, but it was just this drab, dreary world for no reason.
But the other part of that, too, is that they needed, like, people weren't interested in this. They just didn't want anything to do it because Henry Cavill as Superman just didn't work out. Their thought of Ben Affleck after he messed up Daredevil real nice. You know, oh, great. He's going to be one of the most iconic superheroes ever. Okay, that sounds good. And then it's so much so that they didn't trust those two stars that during all of their trailers, they put Wonder Woman in it to spoil it.
You're like, neat, neat.
Right?
But here's,
because nobody gave a crap. It was like, Wonder Woman, I'm gay!
I did appreciate this, though. I normally would have pulled some clips from the film to, like, give us flavor and color during this episode, but there was no point. Like, everything that I could find, it was just him going, okay, I'm this, and them fighting and brooding, and it was just, it just made me sad all over again.
What do you mean, Martha? Like the cookies. Sweet Martha's cookies.
And then
cookies.
There's the, you know, do you bleed? Yeah, you know, okay, fine, we get it. Like, it's all so played out. And
right.
The, you know, the whole fight scene that they have, and he's like, suck it in. Like, when he's, like, inhaling the stuff. Everything about it was just, they just gave them dumb things to do.
Well, and it got even dumber when they did Justice League. Don't get me wrong. The finding of everybody was super cool. I think Ezra Miller was fantastic as the Flash.
Yeah. Jason Momoa's not bad in that one in spurts.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I had to tap out of that. That was one of those films that I was like, okay, this wasn't as terrible as I thought. Maybe I'll watch it again. And then I never have. I haven't mustered the energy to watch it again.
For me, every once in a while, Jason Momoa was that dude in those Mountain Dew commercials, the extreme commercials that you had just had enough of.
What I also, my least favorite part of a movie that I already didn't like is when Batman spends all this time mansplaining to Wonder Woman how she should have been in charge of everyone, and she was off brooding because her heart was broken. So she comes back, says she's in charge for all of 35 seconds, and then stupid Superman shows up.
Right.
You know, because you can't do anything with Superman. He is the worst. He is absolutely the worst.
It's a terrible movie, so when it came out then earlier this year that Affleck, they decided to move directors. And so when they moved directors,
Affleck's like, tap out.
Affleck's like, cool, that's fine. We can do different directors. It just puts less stress on me. Well, then the director read his script and he goes, well, I'm really not a fan of this script. So I think we're going to write our own script for this. And then he's like, well, shit. Okay. That sounds fine, I guess maybe we'll do that. Cool. You guys write a script. I'm ready when you are. And then they're like, hey, by the way, we don't want you to play Batman. You can't tell me that Affleck didn't see that coming.
Right, and here's what I think was going on over, if you're in the conversation they're having over at the DC Cinematic Universe, is that none of the movies were doing well except for Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. If Aquaman had tanked, they would have had to trash that whole cinematic universe.
Which would have sucked because they put so much money into it.
So that means all the characters that they exist could no longer continue because nobody wanted, they all were trashed. Mm-hmm. Aquaman, the fact that it made money means that they can at least continue on with that continued vein and here's the world that they live in.
And so more and more came out this week about, you know, how they're going to continue it. We all saw, you know, glimpses of Batman right away, first time around in Suicide Squad.
Correct.
And so they announced, of course, why? I don't know, but they announced a sequel to Suicide Squad.
Which is now the Suicide Squad.
Right? I mean,
right. Which isn't going to confuse people at all.
Wonderful.
Right, which it sounds like.
Geniuses right there.
Yes. And it does sound like it's going to be primarily a whole separate set of characters. So we're and act like we're doing an erase.
That's actually not what I've heard. I've heard that everybody is back.
I heard the opposite. What I heard is not only are they brought James Gunn on.
Yep.
So James Gunn writing and directing, and he's going in a different direction was the last thing I heard last week. So what did you hear?
I didn't hear the directing part. Mm-hmm. Okay, I heard that he was in talks to direct.
Yep.
They for sure were done with Zack Snyder.
Yes.
When it comes to story building. Which is the smartest thing that they probably could have done. I did hear that there's going to be a couple of additions. I do hear that Margot Robbie is going to be back in it just because they need her in it to really kind of pump up her Birds of Prey, which dropped a trailer this week. I don't know if you saw it.
I did. It looks good, but they teased me before with trailers, and I'm like, garbage, that was it. And then half of the stuff didn't end up in the movie.
Oh, what do you mean? Like when he jumps up, Aquaman jumps into the air to grab a flying alien?
And I'm like, what?
You're Aquaman.
Yeah, I know.
You are supposed to kick ass in water, not bro out, man.
All he did was bro out. How did he manage to be in water and not be damp? That was another thing that I had questions. So many questions.
But then the other thing that I heard is that no matter what, they're done with David Ayers.
Yes.
So they don't know. Like, they want Gunn to direct. But he's still kind of teeter-tottering.
Nope, that's what I heard, that he is absolutely on board. He's returning to the director's chair, according to this one. And so a lot of people over on the Marvel side of things have actually been tweeting a congratulations to him because they were still in support of him not being fired, and so they're actually happy over there. So it is giving me hope for the Suicide Squad one because he's going to write Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, he's just going to rewrite Guardians of the Galaxy with them.
Right, yep.
You know? It's not, which would probably make sense because the first Suicide Squad, I liked that more than Justice League because I had decided it was going to be trash.
Yeah.
And so the fact that it was C-, I was like, well done with your C-.
Yes. Lowered expectations.
Right. You set yourself up for it.
Yeah, I went into it fully expecting to despise it.
I should have done the same thing with Avatar then because, man. Oh man!
I buckle up because there's what, three more coming.
Yeah. I got tricked.
Lofty expectations.
It's winning all these awards. You figure it to be somewhat pretty.
Well, they do have that. The other thing that I am happy about because they did set their 2021 release schedule. So they're going to have another film, which I actually think is going to be fun. So they are going to release DC Super Pets. The summer of 2021.
They are not.
Yes, they are. And so they're going to have that one come out and then some other stuff that I vote no confidence for. But I am very excited about DC Super Pets. So that's going to come out on May 21st, 2021.
Cyclone Kid's going to freak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And your kiddo, does he care?
He's going to freak.
That'll be really good. So I think that'll be really good. So it looks like it's going to follow the pets of a number of the DC superheroes, including Superman's dog, Crypto, Batman's dog, Ace, the Bat Hound, and Supergirl's cat, Streaky. That I'm on board for. Because they can't trash that. They make good cartoons. That'll be fun. Did you know that her cat was named Streaky? I didn't know that.
I don't trust a cat in battle.
I do. My new house panther would be dope.
So Superman.
He might tap out and leave. He's like, but.
Superman's dog is Crypto?
Crypto, yes.
Crypto. Yeah.
So named after his home planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also the substance that can destroy him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. And in Batman's dog, like there are, like they have had these characters in a number of the other things. Like
They've had TV shows, so, yeah, like so our animated television shows.
Right.
Shows for kids,
and those are usually fun. And it is kind of interesting watching, you know, the dynamic between Crypto, Superman's dog, and Batman's dog, Ace. Because Batman's dog has a Batman attitude where he's just too good and really doesn't play with others. He has a cowl, like everybody. He has a cowl, and of course, Crypto has a cape. So it'll be very interesting. I think that of all of the things that they have coming up for release,
Crypto
is the one I'm most happy for.
Crypto, so people don't know who he is. He wears glasses and a coat and goes to work at the day. Nobody knows it's that dog at all.
And goes into a doghouse and comes out as super pooch.
He has a blog and dog fancy. That's what he has. So we are excited about that. Do you guys, are you on board? So should we give him thumbs up or thumbs down for anything coming out with the DC Universe? What do you guys think?
You know, I also heard that they're going to be releasing a live action Plastic Man coming up.
I loved that cartoon series.
So did I, didn't you? Wasn't it Don Adams did the voice of Plastic Man?
I vote no confidence in the... Because Shazam looks, I can't tell if I like Shazam or not.
I'm Zachary Levi fan. I have been since Chuck.
Sold. Jake, I don't blame the actors.
No.
I blame the garbage they give them to say.
What do you feel about The Rock? I think the other thing that the Suicide Squad's going to jack up on, too, is the fact that they're going to have The Rock in there as Black Adam. That'll bring numbers. The Rock brings numbers.
Yes, yes. I agree.
He'll be his new Batista. It's fine. He'll be James Gunn's new Batista.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to try and get on board with that because I do love The Rock.
We should go see it together.
We can go see that.
And then we'll
I'll get wine
afterwards.
And if you can fill me in if I black out again, like I did at Aquaman. So that'll be great.
Perfect.
There you go.
I'm completely on board with that whole thing. I'll do that. I do enjoy The Rock. He is one of my favorite people that I've ever had the opportunity to interview, and he gives fantastic hugs. So I will watch him in any garbagey movie. So that's all fine.
Quick side thing. Have you been watching the Titan games?
Huh?
Haven't you been watching? Oh, man.
No.
Check it out. Anybody who's listening, I'm sorry. Check it out. You're going to be floored. Just the determination in these people.
I feel like we'll go into our break and then we come back. You also can give us a review of the Titan games because that does lead a little bit into what we're going to talk about.
Here it is. It's awesome. Next up.
So we're going to do that and then we're going to go deep dive into the geekdom of wrestling thanks to Jake Stubby J. Beaver and our friend Maddie Atlantic. We'll be right back on Be Our Geek. Welcome back to Be Our Geek, still broadcasting from the Twin Cities Film Fest Studios. I'm Ms. Shannon. Jake Beaver stepping in as my co-host this week since Jayden Satia is off running around. What are you laughing about?
We haven't moved. We're still in the office.
Yes, still here? Yeah.
They didn't kick us out for part two.
Nope. We actually decided that we are going to actually move on to the next part of the show, and we're going to do our little deep dive with the wrestling. I just really like this. My music's not normally as good.
Ladies and gentlemen, now making her way down to the ring. Every man's fantasy, every woman's nightmare. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Shannon.
Yay! I would be okay with that if that
happened.
Would
you be a
good
guy or a bad guy?
I would be a good guy. And I know that because there were a group of friends of mine in town, comedians, who for a little while had a wrestling-themed comedy show.
Oh.
And so they had it over at Gastov's. And so they would do this every week, and then you would kind of like... Supposed to have like good guys and heels, like heels. Is that what? Okay,
faces and
baby
heels.
Faces and heels.
Okay. Yep. So, my friend Tom Chilstrom, they called him Handsome Tom Chilstrom. So Chili was the one that was like got me roped into this thing. I'm like, I'm very excited about this opportunity. I'm gonna try.
Tom's
so
been on Ring General a couple
and
times.
And I got over there and I was terrible at it. I was terrible at it because I am not good at being mean to people. Even if it's just acting and trying to write those things. Chili was great. Like Chili, like he had his big glasses on and the big gravitas, and he would like they did a great job at the show.
Yeah,
and I really wanted to be good at it. You know, kind
yeah,
of thing.
Right.
I wanted to enjoy. That was part of what made me interested in the whole wrestling thing. Because when I was a kid, of course, I watched. Because there was like a WWE, comic, cartoon. I watched that.
The Hulk
back
Hogan's.
When Cindy Lauper was hanging out with them.
Yep.
And it was like, and Wendy Richter and all
ma'am.
The things. I watched the cartoon, and so I watched the wrestling back then, and then I fell off, you know, and just never really paid attention again.
A lot of people do around then. They usually fall off. I mean, come their teen years, it's not cool anymore to like wrestling.
Okay.
To a good portion of people.
But it seems interesting to me because every time I see a clip, so Jake and Maddie, whenever I see a clip of wrestling fans, there's giant auditoriums full of fans. Clearly it is a giant, still a great, huge fan base. Yeah.
This last Sunday, Royal Rumble, they sold out a baseball stadium to put on a show.
Mm-hmm.
So the fandoms, it goes across all ages and genders and kind of like socioeconomic kind of statuses. There's people that you would never expect to see, like Chrissy Teigen,
right,
would show up at WrestleMania.
And I can get that because I appreciate, of all words I'm going to use, the pageantry of wrestling. You know, the way that it is all character-based in what we're doing. And so I like watching the way that they build the storylines around characters. And my friend works at a bar in town called Bar Luchador. And so it's like a wrestling-themed bar. So whenever I go over there to see him, there's always wrestling playing on the background. So they'll have on either a network or some old, you know, DVDs that are playing. And I don't know a ton about this, but I started watching two things. So I started watching, what is it when not like short people, but the tiny, like the 150-pound, 160-pound guys.
The luchadors, cruiserweights.
Yeah, cruiserweights. Yeah. So they're tiny. I like them because they're like tiny athletes and little bullets, and they just bounce. I love them because they move really quick. So yep. I'm enjoying them. I like watching them. And they're not, and they have the same kind of like, they walk in with all of that bravado and a bunch of, you know, chest pounding. And then you'll see them bounce off the rope like four times, like tiny little girl gymless. Like, bing, bing, bing. And I'm like, neat, you know. So I try to watch that.
Right.
I don't remember any of their names, but I do appreciate them. And then I started watching, because he had it on one day. It was like a British invasion. So it was watching a bunch of wrestlers, and they all happened to be British, and it was like, so it was the men and the women, so I started watching that storyline, and I know that there was a story lately about somebody broke into her house or something, like one of the ladies I was watching, so there's some drama. But I enjoyed that, and this is why I like that, because they weren't in like typical sporting event auditorium-looking things. They looked like they were in a theater. Like, okay. There was a theater, yep. And then the ring was in, yep. At the theater, and yep. I was like, oh, it was like very posh, and so, I liked that.
So WWE, mm-hmm. Their developmental brand is NXT.
Okay.
And now NXT, because WWE is worldwide and it's yes. growing more and more, they have now expanded to the UK. So UK now has their own NXT shows.
Okay.
And that's
that must have been what I was watching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so I was like, I want to pay attention to this. And then I didn't. But then you guys are going to be here. So I figured I just asked. So you could tell me what it was that I was watching. Yeah. So you guys do the podcast, Ring General Radio. How long have you guys been doing that now?
Oh, geez.
Five and a half years.
Five and a half, 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It came about when I was working over at Sizzlin.
Yes.
I was producing and I had learned producing from Polly Spit, and then mm-hmm. we had three guys talking our own show.
Right.
And at the time, I had asked my brother if he wanted to do a podcast.
Right.
And he said no. Not a chance. Not interested. And it wasn't out of like, I don't want to do that. It was more along the lines of he had other things in the can that he was working on.
Right.
His buddy was working on a cable access show, and he wanted to do some writing for that, and that completely fell through.
He would also do some stand-up.
He did some stand-up, mm-hmm. which was not the best. They gave him a 10-minute spot right out of the gate.
Oh, and he should have said no. He didn't know that, though.
10 minutes
is a long time when you first start.
I'll send you the clip. I'm
sure it was adorable.
It was. Okay. It really was. But he then said, well, why don't I have a show on your network yet? He got really upset at me. And so I said, let's do it. Let's put a show together. And right away, he contacted Matt.
Very yeah, cool. we had worked together. All three of us are Best Buy employed.
Mm-hmm.
And Jono and I would work on the road together. We'd room together, and inevitably we would be talking about or watching or, you know, listening to wrestling themes while we're doing work overnight. And, it just kind of built our friendship, and he contacted me out of the blue one day. He's like, hey, let's do this radio show on Jake's station. I'm like,
on his internet radio station.
We're going to do a wrestling show. I'm like, all right. So then we got together, went to a local tap room in St. Paul, Tin Whiskers.
Yes.
And we sat down, and we're like, all right, we need a name. We need like a format. And like, this was, again, Jono wanted to like map out the first year of our show right there.
That's
that first
pretty detailed
the
content
first
calendar.
Hour of our discussing the program. We came up with Ring General Radio. We came up with the fact that we wanted to do a three count. Basically every week we would have a different topic.
Yes.
And, each of us would come up with three different answers for said topic. This was prior to Stubby being involved, as far as a contributor.
They just used me as producer. Producer.
You just sat there and then pushed the slides up and down
producer
on the board,
and,
right?
Producer and Google guy is what I was for a long while.
And
fair enough.
The best in the biz.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had kind of put our format out there, and Stubby's like, we're gonna give it a go. And again, this is Jono and I's first time venturing into a podcast realm. And after the first one, he's like, just go back, listen. Stubby's like, go back, listen to the show. You'll figure some things out.
Take some notes. Right. That's the one thing that, and a lot of people, when they won't go back and they won't listen to their own show.
No.
Because they hate how their voice sounds. And my voice doesn't sound like that, does it? But after a while, when you start listening, you catch little things that you say. You catch little things that you do that you want to change or that you probably should change.
Right.
I know for myself, I say, oh, it's fantastic. I say that way too much. Way too much. I can go back and listen to it. It could be a drinking game for our show. Every
time
I say it,
take
a shot.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. But go back, listen back, take notes. See what you want to do with it. If you like the way the format works, keep it. If you don't, change it up. And that was the cool thing about Matt and John during that time is that they always changed it up.
Right.
Like they brought something to the table that was unique than everybody else was. They brought a specific topic that wasn't
Which
usually
you need to
touched.
Do, right.
You know, a specific topic, and usually it's a little deeper. Not, who's your favorite wrestler? Who's your favorite tag team? I mean, they went as far as, what were the best animals that were used to come down to the ring as valets? Or what was the worst weapons ever used in a ring? Who would your fantasy pairings be between an active and non-active wrestler? And
right.
they would just really kind of deep dived into it. And beyond that, so then Jono and Matt really started getting their groove, and then they started adding more segments in, including our Battle Bowl tournament.
Right.
Yeah, we this was Jono's creation. And he invented a trivia contest exclusively for him to come out and win. And
nice.
He was not shy about claiming this. And inevitably, the first one comes by, and he in fact wins.
He won the damn thing.
He's like, no one will know more about this than I
and
do.
That's,
now it's a contest.
That's
well
when
done.
He spilled the beans to everybody listening. He's like, I can't believe I did this, but I created this so that I could win it, and who knows, I did it. And then the next year, he got knocked out in the semifinals.
Oh.
The next year got bigger, so
okay.
We ended up adding more people the next year from different podcasts, and we did weekly. We ended up having people on, and it was like wrestling. The
right.
drama behind it was like wrestling.
Yeah, we had people cutting promos on each other.
Funny. But that's one of the things I think is very charming about your show, is that it is very authentic. You know, like, you can tell when you listen to it that you guys are very into what you're talking about. It's not just lip service. It's like, this is something that you live. There's a reason why it's important to you. And that's probably why it generates with your listeners, is that they're going, these are the same people that I talk to about something that I love.
There were reasons why we got into wrestling. Mm-hmm. You know, wrestling was the bond between John and my dad and myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, the three of us, that was the one thing that every weekend we could count on watching. My dad specifically would make the family go to breakfast earlier in the day so that way he could be home for Wrestling Superstars in the afternoon.
Nice.
Now, once 12 o'clock came, he didn't care. Like,
okay.
But 11 to 12, uh-uh. Don't, that's our time. So
right.
The three of us would watch wrestling. Matt's got a similar story about how he got into
wrestling. Yeah, so mine was my great-grandmother was a big AWA fan.
Really?
The local Vern Gagne production. And
was that when it would be in, like, local venues and then outside every once in a while?
Yeah,
here?
So Robbinsdale is kind of the epicenter of the Midwestern wrestling scene. Robbinsdale, Minnesota. And the amount of talent that came from AWA that moved into the WWE that is as recognizable and Hall of Fame worthy is, it's a long list.
Mm-hmm. Another reason to not call us flyover country.
Right.
So we're
exactly.
a big deal every once in a while.
So give us WrestleMania. But yes, so we would go over there on Sundays, and the two things that my great grandmother was super into was AWA wrestling,
mm-hmm.
and the Minnesota Twins. But she would not watch the Minnesota Twins. She would listen to John Gordon, Herb Carneal on the radio.
Wow.
So those are two things. And my father was also a very big baseball fan, mm-hmm. And allowed me to participate and watch WWE on the weekends. So there was not the bond like between my father, but my great grandmother was the one that kind of turned me on to wrestling.
Now, how does your fandom evolve as you get older? Like, when you were like, how do you feel, or how do you remember feeling about it when you were watching it as a little kid versus how do you like it now?
Oh, I'm so much more crotchety about it. I'm not kidding.
So what do you mean?
So as a kid, it's like Santa Claus, right? I mean, it's this wondrous thing that mm-hmm. you see, and everything on there you believe mm-hmm. it's real, every little bit of it. People tell you it's fake, and you say it's not fake. Hulk Hogan really got squished by the earthquake. His parents called him the earthquake, you know. But it's something that you believed in so much, and now growing up and sticking with the product for so long, the world has changed so much with the internet and the spoilers and the pulling back the curtain, you know, a bit. I'm not going to say it's not as majestic for me.
Right.
But it seems more like homework for me to try to dig deeper and figure out things with it. And you become more of a smart fan.
Okay.
You know.
But don't you feel a little bit like I'm a big fan of magicians. So I have friends that are magicians. And I intentionally mm-hmm. do not want to know too much about it. Because in my head, yes, I know that it's maybe a trick that they spent a lot of time working on. But that's the point. They spent a lot of time mm-hmm. working on that trick. Mm-hmm. So they might as well be a wizard. I didn't spend time learning how to do it. So I'm just as impressed. So aren't you a little bit, if you look at like the physicality and how much practice and the timing, the fact that there's so much improv involved?
Oh, yeah. I don't want to know a thing.
Right.
Okay. I don't want
to
know
anything. We try to guard ourselves from, spoilers.
Right.
It's more and more difficult these days when it's second nature to just hop on your Twitter and you're scrolling. Oh, didn't mean to read that.
Yeah.
Are you guys the kind of people that if you know what's going on in like the episode of Game of Thrones, it ruins it for you?
No, I'll still watch it.
Okay.
See, yeah. So, we'll still watch.
But it's not as exciting because you knew the outcome. Okay.
Yeah.
It's still exciting.
but like Stubby said, it is one of those things where it feels like you are forcing the company and the talent to work more to provide the entertainment that they probably Ooh. Didn't need to do in the past.
Okay.
And it is one of those things where, again, knowing what we know now about a lot of the people that we looked up to in the past, it puts a little bit of a stain on what we grew up watching and enjoying.
Like, what's an example of that? Like, what's one of the things that bugs you?
Hulk Hogan?
Yeah.
Where else do we need to go? Legit, I mean, this is probably one of our biggest beefs on our show, just because this guy was our hero. I mean, he was our hero growing up. And I think I started to lose faith in Hogan more and more as it went down the line. It's like the Patriots winning the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You've seen it done before. Let's move on. Let's see somebody new do it. But when this guy continuously wins belts left and right.
Right.
You know, and growing up, we didn't know what it was like behind the scenes with these guys. And then now we find out that, you know, this guy, our hero, the great American, the guy that we sent fan letters to, you know, just to get something back from him, you know, get a signed postcard that is a generically signed postcard, stamped postcard. You get this in the mail, right? And you're still jazzed because it's like, Hulk Hogan sent this to me. This is the best. And then you figure out that he was a dick backstage, and nobody liked him backstage mm-hmm. because he thought he was bigger than, even to this day, he thinks he's bigger than everybody else, and is like, that was my hero.
Do you think that since a lot of these things, you know, spoiler alert, are based on storylines, is the fandom and the storyline, is it cyclical? Like, do you see things coming and since you guys have been fans for so long?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, absolutely. The main product, the WWE/F, whatever the hell they were before, they are very well known for reusing storylines.
Okay.
And so since we've watched it so long, we kind of know which way they're going to go.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it is difficult to fault them. They've been putting on weekly episodic programs for over 25 years.
Yeah.
And in addition, they're putting on house shows and they're putting on pay-per-views like once a month. And now they have a second Well, actually, it's not even true because they, in addition to SmackDown Live, which is their Tuesday night programming, we talked about the Cruiserweight, the 205 Live program. They've got an NXT program and this NXT UK program. So they are putting out, I don't know, probably close to 15 hours worth of live content a week.
Every week.
So there's only so much you can do.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's hard to fault writers for kind of hashing out old storylines and trying to make them work with different pieces. But, man, it's a never-stop business.
Do you guys pay attention to the way that those contracts are set up for the people who are actually wrestling in that? Because a friend of mine was trying to explain it to me where he was talking about how if you're like a local guy, you're trying to get this particular contract because then you'll be a recurring character. And so he was trying to explain that to me. So do you guys know a lot of the local guys and what they're working towards?
I know of some for mm-hmm. sure, and I know that there's some who are working towards making their way towards a bigger roster. I know that there are some who are just out here doing it because it's fun.
Okay,
friend of ours, Ryan Cruz, he's on Culture Cast with myself Thursdays 5 o'clock, 4D Podcast Network. Shameless plug.
Mm-hmm. No problem. We'll do that. We'll also link to that on our social media. Don't worry.
But you know, he's in it right now. Just he's been in the business so long, like he's not looking for a giant payday out of this. It's more fun.
Right.
As compared to a gentleman who we both have seen in the ring a couple of times, local guy Arya Daivari,
mm-hmm.
who's now on the main roster.
Okay.
Heidi Lovelace, who's now on the main roster as Ruby Riott. But it's just one of those things that some of these people are really kind of in it to hopefully get there, and some are just like, this is cool.
Yeah, I think an example of a guy who's likely trying to get to that next level is a Darren Corbin.
Okay.
He is, if you go to local shows here in the Twin Cities, he is the ultimate bad guy. He'll cut promos on his opponent, but okay. that's usually,
what does that mean?
He'll cut a promo. Basically he's trying to instill fear, just kind of, you know, make it so that his opponent is psyched out. But he'll not just stop at the opponent. He'll run down the audience. He'll run down the promoters. He'll run down the sponsors.
So is that part of the skill set? So not only having to be able to do all the physicality, but be able to like do the trash talking and be that kind of interesting actor where you instill some sort of emotion in people.
Mic skills are extremely important.
Okay.
They're extremely important because if you can't tell that story, it makes it a little difficult for us to believe that you're a badass in the ring. Even, I mean, this guy could be, you know, 6'4", 245 pounds, completely jacked. But if he can't talk,
one of my old friends who I from back in the day. This guy, Scotty Brault, yeah, he's like an old dude wrestler. I see him at like conventions selling like posters and stuff like that. He's all giant.
I beat him. does he listen to your show? At Miss Shannon.
I'll tag him
with an A.
He's a big dude. Here, I'm going to find a picture of him right now.
Mic skills are really important because, legit, if you can't talk on the microphone, we're not going to believe you as a wrestler. Oh, yeah, I beat that dude twice.
Yeah. That's our second reign.
I'm going to have to ask Gotti. Kind of thing. So that would be funny. That would be really funny if you guys were like, oh, yeah, we just jumped on him all the time.
Nonstop.
Yeah. But ideally, you have a combination. Like you can work the microphone and get it done in the ring. There are cases where one is not as important as the other, especially if you're able to get a mouthpiece like a manager type thing. Yeah. Like for an example,
so
right
if you're
now,
a team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now, Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
The Universal Champion. He rarely ever says anything into the microphone, but he has an advocate or manager. Of Paul Heyman, who is one of the best orators that the industry has ever seen. And it's a pairing that is necessary because...
Well, that makes sense. Because the few times I've had Brock on a radio show before, and he's super nice, but he isn't chatty. So yeah. I couldn't see him transitioning
next to
that
either. Next
time
he comes on, tell him to bring Heyman with him.
Okay. So then he'll take care of all of it. Last time I talked to him, all he did is he offered to like... you know, cook me squirrel out at his house.
Yeah.
Him and his wife.
Were you guys going to bring the ice hole or?
I should. I could imagine him drunk. Oh my God. If I got Brock Lesnar trash.
That and some Copenhagen, I think you're good.
So, I mean, if I wanted to, so if that's how I was going to like dabble, since I don't want to work on the physicality or learn all that stuff, I'm not an acrobat. but I could get better at just really being. So how does it work? So should I focus on being good at trash talking or super inspirational?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
I think that if you can trash talk your opponents enough while still being inspirational to your client.
Okay.
At that time, building him up.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that's huge. Build your client up and then trash talk while your client's better than this person.
So let's say I'm a fan here. You said that we have a really good wrestling culture here the Twin Cities. So where should I go first? Like, where should I go and I can go, okay, I'm going to start catching up. I want to go to a couple of live events. What do I do?
There's at least 3 or 4 to 12 different promotions here.
Okay.
At any given time.
Any given time. There's, you know, VFWs like to roll a lot of good wrestling things.
Okay.
Knights of Columbus and Bloomington puts on a lot of shows.
Yep.
Okay.
If you want an experience, First Wrestling does Wrestlepalooza twice a year.
All right.
And this is where it's at.
Okay.
I mean, it has...
First Wrestling.
First Wrestling.
The I is a one.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. We'll put a link up on
our
page.
Right? Okay. At Miss Shannon. But they put on a show twice a year called Wrestlepalooza. It is wrestling, burlesque, and live music.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
And it's all done at First Avenue.
Oh,
In the
main room where they put a wrestling ring.
Right there in the smack dab in the middle of First
Avenue. Dance floor. Yeah.
You're like, that's where Prince was. Now we're wrestling.
Right?
Yeah.
That's dope.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They come from, you know, the stage down to the ring.
Yeah.
And they sell out
every
single time. Mm-hmm. And to be able to go in there, there's 1,000+ people in there. I mean, butt to butt. It is packed in there with the number of people. And people are just involved the whole time. And even if you don't like wrestling, this is a feat to see.
Yeah, there's something for
it. It's part
everybody.
Of the event.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, I understand going to something just because you're like, as long as I know what to expect, I'm part of this event. What do you think about, you know, when we have these new celebrities that are like dabbling or you hear a story? Like we were talking, Jayton and I were talking about David Arquette because David Arquette was in town promoting his new film. And it was about the time that he mentioned the fact that he was going to go back in the wrestling and that he was taking it seriously this time.
Yeah. I listened to that episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about his death match in Los Angeles. The funniest thing about this is that Jake just brought up Wrestlepalooza. This last show they put on early in January here, they did two nights. So they did Saturday and Sunday. And Sunday night was headlined by David Arquette.
Oh, I missed it.
He was here putting on a wrestling show against Colt Cabana.
Okay.
Who is an indie darling. And from all I heard was that it was a great match. The guy is committed to this part of his career right now. And when he was champion in the WCW, you really couldn't say that. He was still an actor first. The wrestling thing was kind of secondary. And they kind of, I know this is a sorry subject for a lot of wrestling fans, but one of the bookers, the guys that write the storylines and they kind of script matches.
Right.
Vince Russo is responsible for David Arquette's rise to power in WCW.
Well, and it all also stemmed from the WCW movie
Ready to Rumble
yes.
that they had put out as mm-hmm. well.
Which David admits, you know, kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like, he didn't expect, it sounds like according to the interviews, you know, and when we were talking to him and he brought it up when he was here at the Twin Cities Film Fest, it was not necessarily going to be a thing, but then he was like, I kind of like this thing.
So for me, if you're an actor and you want to get into this or a different kind of superstar and you want to get in, like, you know, a athlete and you want to get into this, if you put the time in.
Right.
I will watch you every day.
Because we don't get mad. Well, I guess we do get mad when someone who's an actor/athlete decides that they're going to transition to mostly being an actor.
Right.
We hate on them, you know, kind of thing. Like, look how hard it was even for The Rock. And I'm all like, but he was a neat dude. He was this.
And
it took a long time for us to go, he's an actor.
And that's the thing with John Cena right now.
Yes.
John Cena's trying to.
They just don't give him any credit, though. But he seems fine. Like, the movies I see, I'm like, good job, John. Okay, cool.
He's a guy, like, you watch him in wrestling, or if you watch him on, like, their Total Divas programming, you don't give him the credit he deserves when you see him in something like The Sisters or What the Daddy's Home? Like he is, he has got some great
blockers.
Comedic
he was really good in Blockers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is like the time, like when we talk about even like the Dave Bautistas and all these other people that were like, they're just muscly dudes. But then if they're in the right place, it totally makes sense for them to do the right, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Things. You know, because I remember back, you know, back when, you know, Dwayne Johnson was just, I wasn't really watching wrestling when he was starting to make his little movies. Like, it, but I was like, but he Mommy. Was funny. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, right?
Like, Hakuma Shate!
And it was like, okay. I'm like, you look cute. All right. But he's gotten more and more charming over the time, and you got to see what kind of personality he is. And now we watch him all kinds of stupid movies. But I think it's also.
Stupid, right? Oh, right. My gosh.
But I think it's also a matter of going, I appreciate the fact that you got to know his personality over mm-hmm. time as well. And back to what you were saying about Hulk Hogan, where you're like, okay, he was just a monster. You didn't hear those backstories right. about Dwayne Johnson. He's like, he always seemed nice. He was always doing some charity thing. He was like, I'm going to go do a plane pull and like have this kid pretend that I'm going to let the kid think he's pulling the plane when I'm pulling the plane.
And that's the same thing with John Cena right now. So John Cena is right now the person who has granted the most make-a-wishes.
Wow.
Ever.
Okay.
Ever. Mm-hmm. He is the one who has done the most make-a-wishes
ever.
Yeah,
as an individual, he holds the record. It's crazy. And as a partnership, the WWE and Make-A-Wish are a match made in heaven.
Right.
They just had a young boy on that had – he walked into the Make-A-Wish Foundation building, and he was just expecting a tour, and – as he goes up to the desk, there's people lined up with signs holding up for him. He walks up to the desk, and around the back side of the desk is Sasha Banks and Seth Rollins just waiting for him to kind of, you know, welcome him to the show. And then Stephanie McMahon shows up.
Ronda Rousey showed up for a bit.
They have a great partnership, and it just works really well.
What do you, as wrestling fans, like non wrestling fans, to know about your community? Because I think from the outside, we go, it's aggressive, and you just see people yelling and shouting, and like, it looks like it's just a bunch of screaming yahoos. It's but then you have these stories, Maddie and Jake, where you're like, and then we do a bunch of great Make-A-Wish stuff.
Yeah, we're just like you, man. Like, legit, we like things like you do. I heard somebody the other day, we were talking about Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns recently has taken some time off.
Okay.
Because he's got
leukemia.
Okay.
For the second time.
For the second time. So he's taking legit. He went out to the ring, told him this is his second battle with it. He's going to be taking time off and stepping out of the ring.
Yes.
That's real, man. Right. You know, that's super real. And so we get a little teary, and we get, you know, it's crazy because you see these people every week busting their tail.
Right.
And now they come out like, hey, my name's Joe. Uh-huh. It's not Roman Reigns. My name's Joe.
Right.
And I've got leukemia for the second time. So then people are like, why are you crying?
Oh.
Why are you getting all upset? Why are you so emotional about this? Mm-hmm. And you think back to Walking Dead. You remember when Glenn died?
Yes.
You remember how emotional it was for everybody?
And you're like, he's just a character. It's guess like, what? Yeah, but he's my character.
Guess what? It's fake. Yeah. It's
right.
Fake. But it's not fake to you. It's real to you. And that's how it is for us sometimes. It's real to us just the storyline behind these people and seeing it grow. It's our television show.
Right.
It's our script to be able to watch this happen.
What are the things that you go, I wish they did more of this? Like, how has the fandom changed over the time that you guys have watched all these shows?
Oh, man. I really enjoy the in-ring, like the actual wrestling. And I know, the modern day WWE, they're kind of going for a PG rating, so it's more family friendly.
Okay,
which is fine. I just on a 3-hour programming of Raw on Monday night, they might have 4 matches.
It's just talking,
and there's a lot of talking and a lot of backstage segments and stuff like this, and there's a place for it. I just wish that they'd focus a little bit more on what they do inside the ropes.
Because then it's just Glow.
Yeah.
You got to think. Because I remember watching Glow when I was a kid, like in high school, and it's all skits.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there'd be some, terrible. Yeah, it'd be some, but it was all terrible skits.
Have just you watched the Netflix?
No, it's on my list.
Okay.
Do you enjoy that show?
Absolutely.
Okay, I heard that it is a great, it's a very fun show to watch.
But even if you don't like wrestling, mm-hmm. it's a lot of fun because it really gives you more of a behind-the-scenes look, and so you might have a little more love for wrestling right. after watching it.
Right. Well, I'm just impressed. Like, whenever they do some, I'm going to tap you on the arm, we're going to do 3 backflips and this, that, and the other thing, and then I'm going to pretend to kick you in the head, and this, and nobody ended up in the hospital. I'm like, it's just the physicality of being able to do that is astounding to
me. There's a lot that goes into it. I mean, there's a lot of time that they spent in their development systems. There's a school here mm-hmm. in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, if you're interested,
I would like to do that. I would love to do that.
Help you cut your promos. You could show up to gas stoves and blow them all away.
Yes, because we were talking about that. I'm like, I wish I was better at talking trash.
Think about what you did, Tom Chilstrom.
They did a ladder match.
Oh,
like smart. I won 1 week, you know, kind of thing, because we decided I was going to win, and then like it was Black History Month or something. We had some stupid reason why I won. it was something very, very like a dumb reason why I came. Like they couldn't be mean to me because I was the mom that showed up or something. There was a really loose reason because we didn't. But they wanted to expand it more and do more shows and maybe have wrestling matches that would be in between all of these things.
Yeah.
And Chili was really good. He and one of the other comics, they did a ladder match.
Okay.
But they used step ladders. It was cute.
That's funny.
It was very cute. I'm glad that you guys laughed at it because we were like, I don't know if wrestling people would think that we're funny.
That was cute.
But yeah, okay. All right, good. So I did think that was fun watching them do their little ladder thing. So I like the concept of what you guys mm-hmm. do over in the whole wrestling world and what they have going on. And I am fascinated. You know, I'm fascinated with wrestlers in the same way that whenever I see a really good stripper on a pole, I'm like, that is an amazing amount of upper body strength that really has. Like, I
the
appreciate
core strength on that guy.
Exactly. I'm like, look at what she did. And that's how I feel about wrestling, where I'm like, oh, I don't even – the fact that he did that and his arm didn't wrench out of his socket.
Right.
How did you do that, you know? Or even, like – to do some flip thing, drop them on their head, and like I've had people try to explain it to me, and I'm like, that still looks incredibly dangerous.
And that's the thing too, is that the more and more, like us growing up, wrestling was so cut and dry.
Okay.
You know, arm bars,
yes,
drag them to the floor. There was no flips. There was no, I mean, if you did a flip, jumping off the top rope was a huge thing for us. Like, oh my God, mm-hmm. you see that?
Now he it's not just jumping off. It's jumping, especially that 205 thing you said.
Yeah.
Those little guys,
yeah,
it's like 2 backflips and then a front handspring to fall on another guy.
Yeah, and the thing is that they continuously create new moves and new ways of doing things that it surprises us too from time to time. I mean,
you're just like, what?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, there we geek. We geek out hard on it.
Yeah. There's a wrestler by the name of Kevin Owens who kind of in our body shape, but he is able to do a lot of that kind of maneuvering.
He's in brew pub body shape.
Yeah.
That's what
absolutely.
I was
calling like, the guy
like
is
brew pub body shape.
He's a marvel bod plus one.
Yeah. And he could do all this stuff.
He's
so it's
incredible.
Like when somebody shaped like me turns out to be like great at yoga, where you're like, I didn't see that coming with her. Okay, good.
It's mm-hmm. like seeing a cat of my size work a tightrope. It's just you don't expect to see something like
that. You work
that
pole.
You know I do. You know I do.
So what can we expect coming up on Ring General Radio? What do you guys have? What kind of adventures do we have in store?
Sky's the limit with us.
Okay.
Our audience continues to grow more and more. We've done a lot so far over the years, and we continue to do more. We continue to grow. We have our Battle Bowl tournament, of course, still going on. We've got we did the narration for a children's book
back.
We've done.
I'm frightened by that.
It's great.
Because you guys swear a lot over there on Ring General Radio. You come straight out of the gate you go hard in the paint with swear
we
words.
We just say the things that people wish that they could say. You know, that's all. You know that they're thinking it. We just say it for them. It's just, like when your children, like when you hear a child swear, you swear in front of a child and someone's like, shh. And it's like, well, who would you rather them learn it from? You want them to learn it from me or from their parents?
Is your children's book like the Samuel L. Jackson?
No.
F to sleep.
No, this one, okay. This one we refrained from any four-letter words.
Well, goodness.
It was actually, it was written, and then we were asked to do the narration for the actual writing of the book.
Okay.
Yeah, which was a lot of fun.
Yep, it's on YouTube. It's called Three Little Wrestlers, and anybody and everybody can
Ten
go.
Ten Little Wrestlers. Oh,
was it?
Five Little Wrestlers.
Five Little Wrestlers.
We'll split the difference. Yep. Five Little Wrestlers is what it was called.
Bouncing on a bed.
But it was between that, we continued to do our live shows, which is a lot of fun.
Right.
The one thing that's different between our podcast and everybody else's podcast that, you know, we're acquainted with is that we go live.
Yeah.
7 o'clock Wednesday night, people can actually hear us as we do it at 4dpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it runs live, which is a lot of fun. No editing, no cutting. So if we say something that we didn't want to say, it's
too
stuck
late.
Out there forever.
Yeah.
It's myself, Maddie Atlantic, and our good friend, the nickname machine, Sean Lil. He'd be disappointed if I didn't bring him up at nickname machine.
Yeah.
But he's definitely a giant cog in our wheelhouse.
Okay, well, next time there is like a big wrestling thing on, you guys will have to check back in with us so you can tell me, like, you can talk me through it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if we try to do that whole comedy like thing again, you guys can help me come up with my, what did you call it?
Your promo?
My promo. You guys help me that, cuz I need assistance.
We'll come be your we'll be your faction.
So okay.
We'll be part of your faction.
I like the way that sounds.
We'll be your heavies.
Yeah.
In the back.
Yeah.
So remind everybody where we can find you again. What's your website, Jeff?
Absolutely. Find us at 4dpodcast.com. You can find all of the shows there for the 4D Podcast Network, including Ring General Radio, which you can find every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. You can also find us on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play, Pocket Cast, pretty much everywhere that you can find any sort of podcasting. You can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/ringgeneralradio. If you click the learn more button, you can find all of our shows that we've done on the 4D Podcast Network. We've done 100 or well over 100 shows.
Congratulations.
On there. And then on our Twitter's @ring_generals.
Perfect. And you can always find out more about Be Our Geek. You can find us online as well. We have our Facebook page at Be Our Geek Show on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at Be Our Geek and on Instagram as well. And you guys have been fantastic. I appreciate you being part of the show. So we will see everybody else next time when they join us again for Be Our Geek, because everyone is a geek about something.